The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. As David asked in Psalm 61, verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Yes, he asked God to create in him a clean heart and to renew a steadfast spirit in him, meaning a right mind, a right mindset, and a right attitude, which would be a righteous mind and a righteous attitude, leading to God's holy, righteous character. Yes, David wanted to be cleansed, and he was willing to change. You and I should ask the same thing of God, and there will be a time in your life, whether it's in your first life or your second life after the second resurrection, that you will pray the same type of a prayer. You will understand the importance of repentance when the plan of salvation is revealed to you. When God opens your mind to understand His Word, you will be given the opportunity to repent, and most everyone will accept. But those few which refuse, whether it's in this life or after the second resurrection, will be burned up. David continues with his heartfelt repentance in verse 11. "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." David understood that it is sin that separates you from God. God makes this very clear throughout the Bible, that sin is what separates you from God. Going on here in verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit." Yes, David didn't want God to take his spirit from him. David didn't want to give up God's spirit. He says, "Restore to me the joy of salvation." David knew, looking back, before he had stumbled and fallen as he did in this incident, looking back and realizing that he was much happier when he was living within the bounds of salvation, struggling and striving with all of his being to obey God. Yes, the joy of salvation. That's the happiest life that you can have, my friends. Going on here in verse 13, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness." In other words, David wanted to get back close to God. He knew that he had drifted, and he wanted to get back close to God because that's where he was the happiest. "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." God looks for a humble and a repentant attitude. Yes, repentance is to be deeply broken up and remorseful for your sins and to be in a converted attitude, wanting to change. Notice what God has to say in Acts 17, beginning in verse 29. That's Acts 17, beginning in verse 29. "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." This world has ignored that command. Yes, that command to repent, this world has ignored. Have you? You might want to ask yourself that question. Going on here in verse 31, "Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Yes, there is a time of judgment coming on this world, and you are going to be judged according to your works, my friends, and you need to keep that on your mind. Notice what God has to say here in 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. It says this, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Now you need to think about that. Where will you wind up if you don't finally come to the point that you obey the gospel of God and begin living within the bounds of the plan of salvation? Repent, come to repentance and baptism. God isn't judging the world today, neither is God trying to save the world today. Judgment is only on the true church of God today. But God is calling a number of people to repentance and conversion for a special purpose, and that is to build the mind, the attitude, and the character of God and Christ, and those that hear and accept God's calling to Christ and overcome the sinful way of life will rule and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. They will be rulers and teachers of God's word and law during the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. They will be born into the family of God at Christ's return to this earth. They will be spirit beings. They will bear the image of the heavenly, God and Christ, as the Bible plainly brings out. Judgment will be on the world during that 1,000-year reign of Christ and the saints on the earth. At that time, God will set his hand to save the world. God will call everyone and grant repentance to all that accept his invitation. Notice what it says in Joel 2, beginning in verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see vision. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. This is speaking of the reign of Christ on this earth, and it's also speaking of the white throne judgment period after the second resurrection. God is going to set his hand to save this earth. God isn't doing that now, but he is preparing a people to rule and reign and train and heal and teach with him during the time that he sets his hand to pour out his spirit and save this world. This is speaking of the millennium and the white throne judgment after the second resurrection. God will open the eyes, the hearts, and the minds of everyone. Every human being that has or that will ever live will be called to repentance and to conversion. All will understand what sin is and the importance of repenting of the breaking of God's law. Notice in Acts 3, Peter was inspired to speak these words. Acts 3, beginning in verse 17. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. Now, Peter is speaking about the fact that they killed Christ, and the whole world is guilty of killing Christ, even though we don't know it, we don't realize it, but someday you will realize that. You and I, we are guilty. It's the sins of the world that killed Jesus Christ. Going on here in verse 18, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Yes, Peter is telling us to repent and be converted. Conversion means a change. Repentance means a change of mind and attitude, coming to the point that you're tired of your life, of the way that you have been living, ignoring God's way. So the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Yes, it's a refreshing thing, my friends, to be truly converted and to realize that you don't have that guilt hanging over you anymore. Peter makes it very plain that you must repent if you want your sins forgiven. And as we have just read from the Bible in Acts 17, that God commands all people to repent. The question is, will you heed? Will you hear? Will you listen? It's up to you, my friend. Well, you may wonder, how will I know if God is calling me to repentance, to baptism, and to conversion? Only you may know for sure. The answer lies in your attitude. Do you want to change and begin obeying God, his word, and his law? Are you fed up with your lifestyle? Are you miserable and unhappy, discontented with your life? Any or all of these quotes could mean that it's surely a call from God calling you to repentance. Will you answer? Will you hear that call, and will you answer? Notice what God has to say about those that won't hear his call or answer when God calls them. Those that just ignores the call to repent and change. Isaiah 65, verse 12 says this, therefore I will number you for the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. That's not a good position to be in, my friends. You might want to think about that. Repentance, baptism, and conversion are the most important decisions that you can make in your entire life. Going on here in Isaiah 66, beginning in verse 4. Isaiah 66 and verse 4. So will I choose their delusion and bring their fears on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. God is telling us that if you ignore the call to repent and change, that it is not a good position to be in. You will reap the consequences. And you need to think about that. If you feel that God is calling you, don't run from God. Don't hide from God. Because if God is truly calling you, He is going to find you and He's going to get you. So you might want to keep that on your mind. And the sooner that you give in to God's call, the sooner you answer God's call, the better off you will be. Notice in Matthew 3 and verse 7, John was baptizing those that had repented here. John was preparing the way of Christ, as you know, that's what he came for. Matthew 3 and verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Did you notice what John called the Pharisees and the Sadducees? He called them a brood of vipers. And Christ was always calling many of them hypocrites. They were the religious leaders in that day in Judah. Now think of that, my friends. They were the religious leaders in Judah in that day. And John called them a brood of vipers. And they had come to be baptized. Now notice in verse 8, "Therefore," John went on here, "bear fruits worthy of repentance." Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. John knew they were hypocrites and had no intention of obeying God and had no intention of repenting of sin and changing their life. This is telling us that you must repent and begin to turn around before you are baptized for the remission of sin. Yes, there's much more to coming to God and living in the plan of salvation than just believing. He goes on here in verse 9, "And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." John was saying, don't think that you are something special because you are of the lineage of Abraham. You must repent, whoever you are. A strong message that John was trying to get across to these religious leaders. Well, I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program. Keep listening. And in the meantime, if you would like more understanding about this topic, about repentance and conversion, we invite you to call us and request our free articles, "What Do You Mean Repent and What Does God Require?" And all you need to do to receive those articles is just call the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. But call us, my friends. You need to read those articles. You need to realize what repentance and conversion is. So call us and request our free articles, "What Do You Mean Repent and What Does God Require?" by calling the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day at 573-238-3675. And if you don't get an answer, please leave us a message and we will get back to you and mail your literature right out. So call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program, daily on some stations and weekly on others. Have a good day, my friends.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.